Wait for my cue. In the spirit of Christ, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here. Yes, and happy Mother's Day. And welcome to all who are watching us on Facebook, which I would imagine will include Pastor Mark and Deanne, who are in Durham, North Carolina, for the graduation of his son, Bryce, from the Duke University Divinity School with a, let me get this right, Master's of Theological Studies. I had to say that a few times. So greetings to Deanne and Mark and everyone else out there. Let us be in the spirit of worship. We'll do announcements a little bit later. Sue Mott is coming up with several announcements, but I first wanted to introduce our guest preacher today, who is an old friend and acquaintance of Pastor Mark. This is Reverend Dr. Bradley Smith.
Welcome.
He is going to tell you a little bit about himself at the sermon time, but he has quite an old connection with Pastor Mark, and it's going to be quite interesting to have him here today. Some of you may recognize him. He was here, he came and made a cameo appearance at our thrift sale a while ago. He's quite a thrift sale and garage sale guy, I know that. And also, he was a participant in Pastor Mark's installation service, what is that, a year and a half ago now? Yeah. Welcome to Mayflower. We're glad to have you here today. Sue.
Well, I have three things this morning. First of all, last night we had our last Second Saturday Supper for the year. And once again, thank you to those who helped. We had kind of a skeleton crew last night, but boy, we got everything done. We didn't sell everything out, so we will have chicken, et cetera, for sale at the coffee hour time. And then we have cleared up most of the stuff that we had for the thrift sale, but we do have a few treasures left, and they're on either side of the door as you go into to social hall. So if you're interested in looking, feel free. There's still some good books and a few little treasures. And then the third thing is to remind you, those of you who don't have email probably don't know this, but I sent out an email this week to let everybody know that next Sunday after church in the coffee hour, we will be having a baby shower for Haley and Logan for their newborn that's due in June, I think, a little boy. And so we will be blessing that baby during coffee hour next week. If you want to contribute to a gift, you can make sure that it gets to the office, or if you want to purchase something, a little something, that's up to you. I know how much I love to shop for babies. So those are the three things I have. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Welcome to worship on this Lord's Day as we also remember our mothers.
As we come through these doors into the sanctuary, we come into a safe place.
We come in off the streets and out of our ordinary lives.
We bring the brokenness and confusion of our personal world.
We come into this special place and bring our need to listen and reset our spiritual compass.
We open ourselves now and focus on what God has for us.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious God and loving Lord, we gather now and ask you to help us remove the distractions of time, space, and schedule as we share in this high hour of worship. We ask you to bring clarity to our minds, tenderness to our hearts, and openness in our spirits so we can receive blessing, insight, and inspiration. In so doing, fill us with the love and passion of Christ to enable us to live as your Easter people. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. On page 647 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible, you'll find today's first reading, Daniel 12, verses 1 to 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. On page 153 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's second reading, Philippians 2, verses 12 to 16. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
I don't think I need a mic probably to be heard in this room, but I just want to say what a privilege it is to be with you this morning. This is a special time. This is a time to honor all you mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. How many of you have had a mother? I'm in the right place then, aren't I? I was thrilled when Pastor Mark invited me to come and be with you in worship this morning. Our history goes back some 30-some years. I was his professor at Spring Arbor University when he was starting as a young first-time, part-time pastor in Pulaski, Michigan. And We lost contact for many years and then rediscovered one another when he returned to Michigan. And so I've been following closely in my fellowship with him what's happening within your congregation. And it indeed is a privilege to be with you this morning. As we come to this time of receiving God's tithes and our offerings, it's not so much about finances as it is an extension of the spirit of worship. When we come into worship, we bring ourselves into the presence of God in a special way, and we say, "Here I am." And one of the great things about the teaching of the Bible is that for every inward spiritual action, there is usually a visible outward symbolic action to help prompt us and to remind us that this is a part of the rhythm of life. And so we come as an act of worship in the bringing of ourselves and the bringing of these tangible gifts, which is so much a measure of our time and so many times a measure and reflection of our priorities. And so we say to God, "I give you myself, and I give you this portion of what you have entrusted to me, that our relationship might be vital and daily and real and as basic to my living as the bread I put on the table, as the relationships that I have with family, as the phone calls I make to friends." So I invite you into this time of giving of yourself through the sharing of your tithes and offerings. Shall the ushers come? Thank you. Let us pray together. What a wonderful reminder that this is my Father's world, and a part of that giving that he demonstrates in all of his creation is crowned by the great gift of mothers in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for each mother who is here, for each grandmother or great-grandmother. Thank you for the gift of your love made understandable through their love for us from infancy all the way through life. How we thank you, Lord, for these gifts of tithes and offerings that have been given, but even more so of the daily commitment, hour by hour, moment by moment, that we might be your person, seeking your will and allowing your love to flow through us in whatever way spontaneously you have in mind to have for us in this day. Might those that cross our path know that the love of Christ abides in us. Might those conversations that we find ourselves in provide an opportunity to show love through appreciation, the affirmation of one another, the interest that we show in the concerns of others. So, Father, we lift to you those special concerns that are burdens on our hearts. Those who are struggling with illness, we pray that you would touch their bodies as the great physician and bring strength and healing and the power and awareness of your presence within them. We pray that you be with Pastor Mark and his family in this wonderful occasion of graduation. Bless that time and their joy and the safety of their travels this day. Lord, we pray for a country that is so caught up with partisanship and division. There's so many things broken about how we deal with one another. We pray for a spiritual awakening in America. And might it begin with each of us. We pray for a world in great need, caught up in conflicts, in disasters of famine and flood, of the suffering imposed by terrorism and wars. And Lord, we know it all goes back to when we get off that path that you would have for us. And so we ask, Lord, that by your mercy and your grace this day, break through the divisions of culture and language, of circumstance and environmental settings, and find in creative ways through your Holy Spirit to bring to the mind and spirit of each person an awareness that there is a God who loves them. Lord, anoint whatever means you choose to help that message get through. We're reminded, Lord, by that passage in Scripture that says you've planted a little bit of heaven in our heart. And so we pray that by whatever seed might be there, that longing for you might begin a journey back to our true homeland. Thank you, Lord, for Mayflower Church. And we pray your blessing upon it this day, and especially as we honor mothers. Continue with us, Lord, as we share together in worship this morning, as we remember the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I intended to say and forgot that the beautiful flowers today were given by Ruth Lewis in memory of her husband Glenn, whose birthday was on May 16. They're just lovely. Thank you, Ruth. On page 3 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's gospel reading, Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Thanks be to God.
It indeed is a privilege to be with you this morning. My wife Joyce and I mutually got lost on our way here and made it just under the wire. God is good. And what a great day this is. Congratulations to you mothers. Especially on this day, we honor you. Mothers, of course, are known for their caring and their generosity. Phyllis Diller once said, "I want my children to have all the things that I could never afford, and then I want to move in with them." Maybe that's your plan, maybe it's not. This morning's message is entitled Shine, and I really appreciate all the references to light and shining, and because that's so true about mothers. I am focusing on mothers for this strategic reason this morning. First, because mothers, I want you to know how much we love you and appreciate you. You can never fully repay a mother's love. And secondly, you are the key to so much else in the lives of the members of your family. You may be a grandmother or a great-grandmother, you may never have given birth, but since mother can be a verb as well as a noun, this is for you as well. It's moms who are closest to the overall operation of the family on a daily basis, isn't it? They keep the home systems running, food, schedules, laundry, homework, solving disputes, providing comfort when people are hurting. Not that others in the family also do some of these things, but mom gives us a great overall picture of what works or doesn't work, and calls it to our attention many times. You've probably noticed that life doesn't come with a manual, but it does come with a mother. Mitch Albom, in his book For One More Day, says this, "Behind all your stories is always your mother's story, because hers is where yours begins." Your mother's an important context for your understanding of yourself, your place in the world, your understanding of life in general. For a moment, I want you to think about the food chain. It's not just what you eat in the food chain. It's what you eat that ultimately you are eating. Is your meat being raised on growth hormones and antibiotics? Are your vegetables genetically modified? Has the nutrition been processed out and the preservatives processed in? Are things being done to your food artificially to make them look brighter, sweeter, or last longer, but is actually destructive to your health? You know, these are questions we don't ask ourselves necessarily on a daily basis, but if what you eats is important, they all become important questions. It's often what is behind what is that matters most. Likewise, ladies, often you are also behind what matters most. You have enormous influence. I was just watching let me see, it would be my nephew's son. What would make him, grandnephew? He's just over a year old, and he's just acquiring language. He's starting to use words. He is so incredibly expressive for what he wants. You know, before it was just pointing or grunting or running to it and grabbing it and whatever. But now he's acquiring language around. Isn't that marvelous? That here he is, 14 months old, and he's acquired a foreign language? And the influence of a mother, from the time this young infant whose mind is so open to simply grasp all the context of what it means to be a human being and living in this family unit and how we convey our needs and our wishes. You know, what a marvelous process. The mother is having an influence on all of that. And that's just the beginning. What enormous influence. To the world, you may be just a mother, but to your family, you are the world. My mom went to heaven just over 3 years ago now. I think about her often. I miss her greatly. And I've been thinking lately about what it is that made her so memorable in my life. I guess I've reached the age where reflecting over the decades of life becomes a part of my continuing education. I've realized that I'm still continually and enormously helped by the examples of the attitudes that she lived out consistently before our family's watching eyes. It's not always what she said. It's how she was, the attitude and the tone. The gift of the fruit of the Spirit run through the filter of her as a mother. The ancient Greeks were a seafaring culture. They were great traders. It made sense. Greece is a peninsula, and Greek ships carried all kinds of goods throughout the Mediterranean world. They were experts at sailing. They could follow the waters almost anywhere. The most influential member of a ship's crew in the ancient Greek was called the kubernesis, from which we get in English the term cybernetics, which literally means control systems. Because the kubernesis was the person who controlled the rudder. So this whole world within learning of cybernetics is the world of leadership. The slightest turn of the rudder by the kubernesis could change the direction of the entire ship. That's what moms can do. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. The rudder. Truer words perhaps were never spoken. It's the moms who have their hand on the rudder of tone and attitude in the home environment. They are a leader. Why does the Apostle Paul write in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." What's that about? It's about tone. It's about attitude. It's about where you put the focus. Our society today is awash with a me-first mentality, isn't it? A me-first attitude ruins more friendships and marriages, causes more oppression, and starts more wars than anything else. And we see it operating in every day's news. So Paul exhorts us to develop and align our attitudes that are the same as what we see in Jesus Christ. But the question is, how do we do that? Would you reach for your hymnal? This is not in your bulletin this morning, but I invite you to turn with me to hymn number 418. No, I'm not going to ask you to stand and sing a solo. But I would like us to look at these lyrics together. Number 418, "Take Time to Be Holy." What a great hymn. But I think the lyrics of this hymn respond to that question. How do we align ourselves with the attitudes and the tone of what it means to be a Christ one? Look at these lyrics. Verse 1, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above." You know, there's an awful lot of practical advice in that hymn, isn't there? You could meditate on almost every line of that and find a practical roadmap for how to make the attitudes of Jesus yours. In Philippians 2, starting in verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." Being a mom doesn't mean you always have the answers, does it? Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not understand the big picture and what was going on with Jesus at times. For instance, she didn't understand the full import of the angel's instruction to flee to Egypt in the middle of the night, or then later by the angel's instruction to return to Nazareth. She didn't understand the implications of Jesus teaching the elders in the temple at Jerusalem at the age of 12. She didn't understand when at times Jesus seemed to be carried away in his healing ministry. And certainly she did not fully understand the importance of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. I think one of the moments of deepest anguish in all of biblical history was when Jesus, with nearly his last breath, said to his mother standing near the cross, "Woman, behold your son." Could you put yourself in the sandals of Mary in your imagination for just a moment? What you were witnessing, what that passion must have been like as a horrific scene, what it must have felt like as a mother who had invested virtually her whole life in this son. Woman, behold your son. I think too quickly scholars assume Jesus is simply making John the disciple her honorary son for safekeeping, and a strong argument can be made for that. However, I believe Jesus' words could be interpreted also to carry the meaning, "Mother, take a last look. You have known me in the pain of birthing me into this world, and now in the pain of my leaving this life. I suffer knowing what you must be suffering. But now accept the reality and the pain of grief that my mortal life is over. Don't get stuck in endless grief. Grieve full and trust God. Beyond the storm, the sun will shine." Now, he didn't say those words, did he? I'm trying to take the feeling of that moment and unpack it as to what could be in that phrase, "Woman, behold your son." God was answering her prayers in those moments from his tomorrow. And although she did not fully understand, she trusted God, even though it collided with her emotions and her motherly instincts. Sometimes we see beyond the moment, and we call that vision. And sometimes the curtain falls in the middle of the act, and we call that a wall. The tension in the here and now between the wall and the vision, between our prayers today and God's answers from tomorrow, is the battleground of faith. Mary demonstrated as the mother of Jesus that life works best when in all situations we trust God even when we don't understand. I suspect that was Mary's heart attitude as she stood at the base of the cross and heard Jesus' words. When God answers today's tomorrow or today's prayer from his tomorrow, it's always for the highest good. As you might suspect, I've been thinking a lot about Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel Gabriel encountered the young Mary with the words, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God." This is out of the blue. Mary's stunned. Why was she chosen by God? Selected from all the women in the world. When only a young teenager, imagine, chosen to be the mother of the Messiah? What had she possibly done in her few years of life at that point to be chosen? We know Mary was a person of prayer. That's what she was doing when the angel Gabriel encountered her with this announcement. She was humble. She was spiritually open and trusted God implicitly in her life. although she could not possibly comprehend the redemptive mission of the son that she was to birth, raise, and now watch violently executed, I believe from the outset God knew that she would be a model for all women, a model for trusting God. We see in Mary this truth. God does answer our prayers today from his tomorrow because he sees it all. Mothers, you can trust in that truth as well. And not to leave you out, men, truth works. And you can do this with God's help. The consistency and integrity of your Christ-like attitudes is the investment of spiritual influence that will be the greatest legacy you can possibly give to your family. And you can do this because of this, as Paul writes, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's not your greatness, your strength, your talents. It's Christ in you, working through you. And in that, others see him. So, in accord with the scriptures that we've heard twice already this morning, mothers, shine. Shine and shine on. After all, it's God's light shining through you. You are his beacon. God bless you as you shine, and your family will rise up and call you blessed. Let's turn to hymn number 466, This Little Light of Mine. Let's stand together. Let us pray together. Father, you who created light, you who are the light, you have created us to be dependent upon light in this world. Without it, life cannot be sustained. And you invite us to become light ourselves. So might your light fill us, be reflected from us, emit through us in every practical way that reflects the Spirit of Jesus. Let us shine. Go with us this day, this special Mother's Day, with a renewed appreciation for the great love that you've made understandable to us because of our mothers. And help us to take that kind of love and as a platform for life, help us to build on it, to expand it, to spread it into every area of life that we have any contact with. And through that, might you have the glory and you have the honor that you deserve in our lives. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Invited to join in the coffee hour of fellowship.
First, we have our hour of visitation, or our moment of visitation before coffee hour.
Oh.
Meet and greet.
Greetings.
Greetings.